Well, we sure want the Lord to feed our souls this morning, and we just trust in Him to do that. Several have gotten saved here just recently, and we just thank the Lord for that. We are so thankful for that. And we realize that that is just a beginning point. And the Lord wants to take us from that beginning point, and He wants to make our life into something of His pleasure and something beautiful. And He wants to walk with us through life. And I feel like the Lord's given me a few thoughts to share with all of us about walking with the Lord and about what that means and how we walk with God through life. I wanted to read that song. I told Rosie this morning I wanted to read that song, and they sang it. But this song, the Lord wants it to become real in our lives. And it is real in my life. I say that just to say, I'm not just saying something. I know God wants this to be real in all of our lives. It's called The Lily of the Valley. And it says, I'm going to read it, even though they sang it. It says, I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. You know, this morning, the Lord wants our life to be like that. A walk with God, when we walk with the Lord, He wants it to be like this. He's everything to us. I've found a friend in Jesus. And I will say He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's a friend that understands everything. Not just the things that other people understand or that deep people understand. He understands everything. And it says, He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley. In Him alone I see. You know, there's things, and I don't know exactly where these lilies grow, but there's things that grow in the valley that don't grow anywhere else. You know, we have valleys, don't we? This is spiritual language here that it's trying to tell us something. He's the lily of our valley. Our low places, you know, if we just humble ourselves to God and we get a hold of Him, He will be in that low place. He'll be a lily to us. He'll be a beautiful thing in that valley. The lily of the valley, in Him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me holy, fully whole. In sorrow, He's my comfort. In trouble, He's my stay. He tells me every care on Him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Now, I believe the Lord wants that to be our case too. The Lord wants to walk with us in a way that in our life, He's that kind of person to us. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. I love that kind of descriptive language. The Bible uses that. He all my griefs have taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation, He's my strong and mighty tower. You know, each one of these things God wants to be. He wants to be, in temptation, our strong and mighty tower. How can He deliver us? How can He help us not to fall? Because we run into Him and we are safe, the Bible says. The righteous run into the Lord. They run into that tower of strength and they are safe there. And that is something God wants to teach us how to do. He wants us to walk with Him so that we learn Him to be our strong and mighty tower. We learn for God to be that one that we run into. Our griefs and our sorrows, the Lord doesn't want us to be crushed out by them, no matter how much they are. He has provided the Holy Spirit to bear and to comfort us. And the Lord wants us to find that. He loves that. I have all for Him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart. And now He keeps me by His power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, Through Jesus, I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. You know, the verse there said, though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore. You know, especially when someone's newly saved, it might feel like that sometimes, like all the world has forsaken us. And maybe our old world has. But you know, God has a whole new something for us that won't forsake us. He has a people. He has friends. He has godly fellowship and love in the Spirit of the Lord that He wants to replace that with. And the Lord wants to give that to us. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do His blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. Now that's going clear back to Moses' time. A wall of fire around them. You know, when the Egyptians came up, there was a great light on one side, wasn't there? And a great darkness on the other. And the Lord was a fire to them. There was a cloud to them. And He says here, I've nothing now to fear. With His manna, He my hungry soul shall fill. That manna was a place in the desert where there was nothing to eat. And God fed them right from the sky. He fed them from nothing and fed that whole million or millions of people that was there. And it goes on to say, then sweeping up to glory to see His blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. That's a very critical, important part of our salvation that we keep before us. There will be a time when this will be the case. When sweeping up to glory to see His blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. You know, the Lord wants to take us to heaven one day. That's my hope. When I get in trouble, when I have sickness, when I have needs, I remember, you know what, there's going to be a day when there isn't going to be any more sickness. And there isn't going to be any more trouble. And there isn't going to be any more frustrations. Because there's a place where we'll forever behold His face. We remember that. That's part of our salvation, isn't it? He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. I believe the Lord, oh, He wants to make that real to us. In James 2 and 22, it speaks of Abraham here. And it says, 2 and 23, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You know, this morning the Lord wants to be a friend to us. Abraham was called the friend of God. If you look back in Genesis 5 and 22, we find another Enoch. It says here, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You know, this morning, there have been men all through the centuries, even before the day of Christ, there have been men who have walked with God. Enoch was one. Daniel was one. You know, when the angel came to Daniel and he had been there in supplications before God for several weeks. You know what the angel came and he said? He said, oh, Daniel, thou art a man greatly beloved. What did that mean? That meant God had fond feelings for him. Daniel, you're a man that God has very fond feelings for. The Lord wants to have that kind of relationship with all of us. But Daniel was a man that set himself to seek God. He took time to seek God. He was out there fasting and praying. That's what he was doing. Maybe he ate some bread. He didn't eat any of certain kind of bread, it sounded like, for a while, because he was setting himself to seek after God. But I want to look at this Genesis 5 where it talks about Enoch walked with God and get a little better idea of what that's talking about. We just, in our language, he walked with God. But Clark says that the Hebrew word used here actually means he set himself to walk with God. He was fixedly purposed and determined to live to God. Those who are acquainted with the original will at once see that it has this force. A verb in the conjugation called hithpil signifies a reciprocal act, that which a man does upon himself. And so we see how that Enoch, the scripture says, if you understand the original, at least by Clark's definition, he set himself to walk with God. Enoch wanted to walk with God. He desired to walk with God. He set himself to walk with God. You know, this morning the Lord wants us to walk with God also. He's impartial completely in that way. God has no partiality when it comes to walking with the Lord. How much He wants all of us to walk with Him. But some men through the generations, and I believe Abraham was one, God called Abraham. And you know what Abraham did? He responded. The Lord told him, get up and leave this place. Abraham got up and he left that place. Different times God talked to Abraham and he became the friend of God. The Lord visited him. When he went down to Sodom, he said, shall I hide that thing that I do from Abraham? That may not be an exact quote, but he said that. Shall I hide from Abraham that thing that I'm going to do? And he talked with Abraham and he told him, I'm going down to Sodom. I'm going to destroy it. And then Abraham he reasoned with God there, didn't he? It was more than God was something, somewhere, somehow. Abraham walked with God and the Lord walked with him. And this morning I just hope the Lord will help us and challenge our hearts to have more than just a experience of salvation and then it dries on the vine. The Lord wants our walk to become rich. He wants us to know the Lord. He wants to become our all in all, as the song said. When we are in temptation, He wants us to learn to run to Him because He wants to be our strong tower and He wants to make us safe there. He wants us, when we have sorrows, He allows that. Do you think He wants it to crush and destroy? Oh no. He wants it to make us run to Him. And He wants to give us comfort and give us strength for our way. I thought about the scripture over in Hosea 10 and 12. It says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. And I just want us to think about some things that the Lord wants in our life. If we want to grow in God, and if we want to become pillars, people that the Lord can put weight on, responsibility on, which we hope everyone will be that. You know, there's some things we need to do. It says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. These men that we're following, they set themselves to seek the Lord. They knew God because they sought God. They looked after God. They searched after God. You read the Psalms and you'll hear all through it David's hunger and thirsting after the Lord. They set themselves to do that. They on purpose resisted the temptations to leave God. That fallow ground, it says, break up your fallow ground. You know what fallow ground is? The definition is unsowed ground. It's not been planted. It's not been planted by righteous things. Left to rest after a year or more of tillage as fallow ground, a fallow field. Left unsowed after plowing. The word is applied to the land after plowing. Unoccupied, neglected. You know, our hearts, before we have been saved, have maybe been hard to the things of God. Maybe it hasn't been receptive to the things of the Lord. Maybe we haven't sought God. The Bible says, break up your hard ground Break it up. It's time to seek the Lord until He rains righteousness upon us. It is time for us to allow God to have the place in our heart that He wants to have. Break up our heart until it becomes obedient. Break up your heart until before God you're willing to take His way completely in everything. Break your heart up. Provide that to God. He can't work in our lives if we don't do that. Break up the maybe from a child. Some have been rebellious. Some have just had it in their nature. I want to tell you, give it to God. Lay down rebellion. Lay down that tendency to just not be willing to do just because of whatever. Maybe just stubbornness. Maybe because of something in the back of our mind. Maybe something happened in our childhood. And it causes us to, when we hear the things of God, to start, you know, well, I don't want to look like that because a lady I knew when I was young, she was mean and she looked like that. You know, those kind of things affect us, don't they? They do. The Lord wants us to break up our heart and break up our ground. And the things, the angers that people have had in their lives and for unforgivenesses and all those things, break up our ground. Let God have our life and let Him sow into us that seed that will grow into things that are good, things that are righteous. It goes on to say in Hebrews, it talks about Enoch again, and it says that before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Isn't that, that's amazing, isn't it? Way back there, there was a point that it says that men began to seek the Lord. Then after Adam fell and Eve and went into transgression and the world went into darkness, but people began to seek the Lord. And Enoch was on down in that same line of people that began to seek the Lord, some of Seth's descendants. We find him, and he had this testimony that he pleased God. In John 15 and 14, and I want to just look at practical things of living for God and growing in the things of God. It says here, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." That's what God said. That's what Jesus said. He said, "You're my friends if you do whatsoever things I command you." Whatsoever I command you. The Lord wants to walk with us. But from the very first, He did walk with Adam and Eve, but He told them, don't partake of that one tree. Don't partake of the fruit of that tree. And don't touch it. Don't even get near it. And you know, Eve did not obey that, did she? And she fell from her place. You know, the Lord still commands us. He said, you're my friends if you do those things that I command you. You know, it's very important for us today to begin to obey God completely. Once we get saved, we're no longer ours. We begin to obey the Lord and take His ways and do His ways. This morning, Lord, help us to become those people that God wants us to be. In Deuteronomy, it speaks of a verse that says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God." You know, that's who we are. That's who we're, God's people, chosen and set apart to Him and set apart from sin. And He says, "The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." When the Lord saves people, they're chosen. They're chosen to be His people, special, set apart from the world. Don't be afraid to set yourself apart. Don't be afraid to put behind you the things that you used to do. The things that people will scorn at. So you're going to be one of those kind of people. Yes, I am. I sure am. Thank the Lord I am. Because I'm one of the special people that the Lord has chosen. And I've responded to His call. And I want Him to be in the center of my life. The Lord wants us to do that, to fixedly, purposely, determinedly set aside our life to live for the Lord. And I believe when we do that, the love that God gives back to us, it will win your heart more than you ever dreamed or thought could be. God will do that. I believe that fully. I found that to be so. I want to read now in John 15, where we're at, and starting at verse 1, and look at what the Lord Himself told us that He wants our life to be like. He said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. My Father's the caretaker of the vineyard." And He said, "I'm the vine. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." You know, it's important for us to know that if we don't bear fruit, He'll take us away. He won't leave us connected up to the vine if we do not go on and walk with the Lord. If we turn back to our old ways, if we turn away from God, He said, "I'll take that branch away." But He says a lot more to this relationship here. He goes on to say, He purgeth it. Every branch that beareth fruit, every branch that hooks up to the vine, begins to live by the Lord, begins to live by His grace. He says, He purgeth it. You know, He wants to purge our hearts. He wants to purge it through the Holy Spirit. He wants to purge it through a number of things, but God wants to purge our hearts and make our hearts like His. And He goes on to say, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you." And there's lots we could say about these things. We could have hours of Bible study on this, but I just want to catch a few. My main thought is that the Lord wants us to abide in Him. "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself." Listen, we need to take heed to that. We cannot bear fruit of ourself. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Nothing. We can't bear fruit of ourself. We cannot do enough good things to bear fruit. But I will tell you what we can do. We can hook up to the vine, and we can begin to draw from the vine just like the branches do from a vine. That's why Jesus used this illustration. We can begin to draw our strength from Him. We can begin to draw from the Lord the things that He wants to put into our life. "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." You know, this morning, the word abide, it means to stay. To stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. Abide, continue, to dwell, to endure, to be present, to remain, to stand, to tarry. That's what that word abide means. It means to stay there. Stay there with the Lord. And begin to do like this here is telling us. The relationship between the vine and the branches. The Lord wants it to be so. All right. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." Listen to that. Isn't that wonderful this morning? How am I going to bring forth fruit for the Lord? Just abide in the vine. Abide there. Just stay there. Just keep your desires there. Just keep walking with God. And I will tell you what He will do. He will make your life bring forth not just fruit, much fruit. The Lord wants it to be so. He wants our lives to bring forth much fruit. That comes from our connection, that connection that branch has to the vine. We have a grapevine at home. And I'm amazed that thing reaches quite a ways out and it keeps trying to go further. But we've got a gate there and we keep opening and shutting it so it doesn't go further. But it all comes from down there at the base. And it reaches way out there and produces hundreds and hundreds of grapes. I don't understand. All of them have to have all that water and all of that juice. And then they turn purple after a while. You know, it's mind-boggling to see how that could come from way over here to way over several 6 feet over or more, 10 feet from the base, maybe. It's probably a good about 10 feet from the base or more. And it is still producing grapes. You know, that happens because of a natural process. That's the way our life is. How can it produce that kind of fruit? How can it produce? Because we just stay right where God put us. We abide there. We live there. We live for God. We draw from Him our strength. We learn to live in the place God wants us to live. We obey Him and we stay right there. And you know what God wants to do? He wants to make it so that I'm not talking about living for people, but He wants to make our life bear enough fruit that people do see it. They see this is different. This is quite different. This is wonderful. The taste of that kind of aroma is what the world should be like. You know what? That's what God wants our life to be like. When people bite into us or they crunch into our grapes, the Lord wants them to see that there's something sweet that He wants to put forth to the world. So this morning, it's not complicated. It's really not. But we have to stay right there. The song said, "Though Satan tempt me sore." You know, sometimes that's the way it is. Sometimes we get in a battle and he might tempt you sore for a while. Listen, I want to tell you something. Stay right there. Because what God is doing is, He is making that connection bigger between you and Him. And you're beginning to draw. And what's going to happen in the end is, you're going to produce a lot more fruit than if you didn't have those trials. God wouldn't allow them if that wasn't the case. He's promised to take everything that comes to us and turn it for our good. I believe that. If a man, he says, "I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." That's what happens when men lose their testimony. Men just sweep them underfoot, even. They are cast aside. But he says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you." See, the Lord wants His words to abide in us. Take them. When we read the Scripture, meditate on them. Let them sink into our soul. Lord, what does this mean? And what does this mean for me? And how can I apply it to my life? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. You know, we have power with God when we live close to Him. We do. We have power to ask Him for things. And I believe it's according to His will. The Lord promised us to give us those things. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." These are just marks of the Lord's disciples, that ye bear much fruit. "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." Listen to this promise. "That my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." The Lord wants our life to be full. I believe that. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Anywhere you see Jesus teaching, it seems like He touches on this a little bit, doesn't He? That you love one another. Stay right where you're put. Stay right there and do God's will and love one another. He says here, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You know, the Lord wants to make known to us lots of things. He wants to be in our life someone that speaks to us, someone that reveals to us, a guide through life. The Lord wants to indwell us through His Holy Spirit. And He wants our life to be something that is guided by that Spirit, that is comforted by that Spirit. I believe it's a much more powerful presence than anything that we can face in this life. The Lord wants to do that. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. You know, this morning, the Lord has thoughts toward us. Do we know that? I'm just thinking this morning, you know, it's important for us to know that God has these things for us. It's important for us to know that He wants to do this in our life. Otherwise, we might at times feel like we're just on an ocean of which direction am I going? This is the direction we're going. The Lord wants us to just get right into Him and not move from that, and let Him fill our lives. Let that juice come up through those vines. I don't know how it happens. It's really an amazing thing. How can 10 feet away, sometimes a lot farther than that on plants, how can it bear big fruits? You go to Honduras and places like that, and you see these coconuts and different things, way papayas maybe, different things way up high, way up there. You know, the Lord just made it that way, didn't He? And probably partly to show us what He wants to do in our lives. Chew on the Word. That's part of our drinking of this. That's part of our drawing from God. Chew on the Word. Let it go round in our mind. Let it mean something to us, more than just a theological sense. But let the Lord put it into our life. In Psalms 63 and 1, I just want to read one scripture here of David's, of this type of scripture. It says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Now, in spiritual terms, we would say maybe you're in a very desolate situation. Maybe there doesn't seem to be any life there. You know what? The Lord wants us to stay right where He allows us to be. Unless the Lord wants us to move somewhere else move out of a negative place that the devil has us in or something. But you know, the Lord wants us to drink from Him and learn to overcome those places. He doesn't want us to jump and run from every battle. He wants our life to become strong. It becomes strong by use. It becomes, our understanding becomes strong. In the Scripture, the Scripture talks about who by reason of use have learned to discern. The Lord wants to give that to us this morning. I want to read just a little bit more in Psalms, the first chapter, where again the Lord uses a very similar idea here and says, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The first thing we have to do is separate ourselves from ungodliness and not go there. We have to separate ourselves from disobedience to God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. God don't dwell there, and we have to remove ourselves from the seat of the scornful, from the way of sinners, and from the counsel of the ungodly. They don't counsel us in the way of living for God. We don't want their counsel in a spiritual way. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree. Now listen to this analogy again. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. I like the descriptions the Scripture gives, that we're not going to just dry up and blow away in the heated season. We're not going to dry up and blow away when things get dry or when things get tough, because God has provided something better. And he tells us here that when our delight is in the law of the Lord, he says this man, this kind of man, is going to be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. I have found that to be so. We do not have to dry up in our faith. Will our faith be tested? Yes, it will. Will our faith be taken away? It does not have to be under any circumstances taken from us. The Lord wants to give us in those times. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God wants to give that to us. It's to those like Enoch, like Abraham, like Daniel, like the ones we are following, all of them. They set themselves to seek God. They set themselves to walk with God, and God walked with them. That's who we're following. That's what God wants to do in us. That's what Paul the Apostle did. That's what Peter did. That's what they all did. They set themselves to walk with God, and they followed him. It says the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And we see it everywhere today. It grieves our heart to see so much all around us in the world being driven with every wind of idea, false gods from other countries, false religions, false teachings about the Lord, all those things. It's grievous. But I want to tell you, the ungodly, it says, they cannot stand in that way. But it says, they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. All this morning, I just want to challenge us today. God wants to walk with us. I don't know how many of us, I know some of us have. I don't know how many know the Lord in an intimate way. I know a number do, and I'm thankful for that. I appreciate that so much. The Lord wants to be intimate with us in our life. He wants to walk with us. And it's not some kind of science that does it. It is because we humble our hearts and we set ourselves to walk with God. He becomes the first thing in our life. When we get up in the morning, we read His Word. We pray to Him. We begin to drink from that. Our trust is in the Lord. Our hope is in God. You know, this morning God wants to be that to us today. He wants to walk with us. And I know we will see many days, perhaps, all kinds of days. But the Lord has something for all those places in life. And He wants our life to be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. He wants our life to be like a branch that bears much fruit to this world, to our family, and to our life before God. Amen.